This is Jim Inkster, and thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana Signature Support from First Financial Tax and Accounting Services. And Robin Dow is producing. She's at the ready if you choose to call. We always welcome your input at 877-217-5757 and emails to talk@talklouisiana.org. We're privileged to have in the house the best-known lawyer, perhaps, and certainly the best-known advertising lawyer, Gordon McKernan, who comes from an old line, a legal family. Many of us remember his father, Jerry. He was on the LSU Board of Supervisors back in the day and a legendary lawyer and once had a practice, if I remember right, with Shelley Baychok.
That's true. That's right.
And so you grew up in the family business, and you're doing it a different way, but it's working for you. How many locations do you have in Baton Rouge?
Three different locations in Baton Rouge.
Three different.
Yep.
And one most notably right there on the interstate. I see the flags, and it's a show of force. You're doing well. And our friends Sean Riley and Hal Killshaw report that you're their biggest advertiser at Lamar. And we're talking about the biggest billboard company in the world.
Right.
Biggest in Louisiana and may be the biggest they have at any place.
That's right. I've heard that. I think I'm in their top view.
And you're on, obviously, on television a lot. That's a staple. And after all these years, how many years now is it that you've been in this?
Advertising roughly about 13, 14 years.
13, 14 years. And he was with us, Gordon was, right before COVID. And he was, at that time, the biggest lawyer advertiser in the state. And Lewis Unglesby tells me that five of the top 14 lawyer advertisers in the country are either in Baton Rouge or New Orleans. What is it about this area that is a catalyst for this sort of thing?
Yeah, that's a great question. I'm not sure if it's five of the top in the country. There's some big brands out there in different parts in some of those big markets. But I do think that there is a healthy amount here. I think, my friend Morris Bart out of New Orleans started early in it. He was the second advertiser in the country. And I think people got used to it earlier here. And then from there, you have a fair amount of commerce coming through the state with the different interstates and things like that. And I think it just led to more accepted and earlier advertising.
Mm-hmm. Most of your business is related to vehicular accidents?
Yes, that's right.
And there are a lot of them here, of course. That's another thing, too. Is it the bad driving, the bad roads? What is it?
Yeah, I think those certainly contribute to it. When you look around and you drive in other states, you quickly notice that their roads seem to be better. And our drivers are interesting. They just seem not to pay attention or just maybe not care as much sometimes, it seems.
But in the volume of business you do, Gordon, you got to have a big support staff, and you got to be careful. You can't have non-lawyers handling cases. You end up before the state Supreme Court.
Yeah.
But so I imagine you have an enormous staff.
Yeah, I think we're about 210 people now, so that's a decent-sized company.
And you told us 3 years ago, I guess a little more than three, about 3 years ago, that at that time you were doing about, in lawyer advertising, about $10 million a year.
It's grown a good bit since then. It was probably higher than that. Maybe I was thinking TV only at that time, but
20?
Yeah, we're in that range.
20 million.
We're in the 20 million range, yeah.
$20 million a year. So you're a big business, no doubt about it. And some lawyers, as we know, some old line guys, they don't particularly like this. But then some of them I see are now advertising.
Yeah.
It works, doesn't it?
It does. I mean, if you do it the right way, and I think you have to treat people well, right? It doesn't work if you're putting all that money into advertising and then not taking care of your clients, not treating your staff and other people well. That current will fight against each other eventually.
877-217-5757. And the primary reason Gordon is here today is to talk about the new world of NIL. And it is something, of course, that has revolutionized collegiate athletics, particularly the major sports. As I was driving in today, I saw Kim Mulkey on a billboard.
Yeah.
We classify that as a major sport now at LSU. There she is. And she's on your side.
That's
now,
right.
Now, You know, one of the things that I was thinking about when I saw her, the coaches aren't getting as much action now as they used to with the players getting. Like, I didn't see Brian Kelly, now maybe I'm wrong, but I didn't see him doing Raising Cane's, right, but the other coaches did.
Right.
So why Kim Mulkey?
I don't know if you've met her, but if you meet her, you'll understand why. And when she first came to town, she was seeking out LSU donors to help raise money for her program and raise it immediately. She's not one to be patient when it comes to success. And when she got here, there were some things that needed to be addressed quickly, whether it was training rooms or locker rooms, just bringing the level of her sport, her team, up. And she was working with TAF, and they had a plan, but it wasn't going as fast. So she started reaching out to individual donors and trying to get them to contribute. She reached out to me. We went and had a nice lunch. And during that lunch, I just, you know, kind of fell for her, so to speak, because she is wonderful. She's articulate. She's intelligent. She's charismatic. And I said, Coach, I'll get involved with you. But what I want you to consider is one day getting involved with me. Let me prove to you who I am. Let you see what I'm about. And if you like it, maybe one day we can work together. And so I went about for the last year courting her, so to speak, and just showing her that I'm not that big caricature on the billboards. I'm actually a normal guy with a family and a faith and values and all those things.
And you blend those in your message to some extent.
Yeah, I try to.
Yeah. Now, you're one of the best known people in Louisiana. I don't think there's any question. You could run for office. You could do a lot of things. So last time you said you actually had thought about that at some point. Yeah. Is that still potentially in the offing?
Well, I don't know if it's in the offing. I've certainly had people in the last couple of weeks reach out to me and say, would you consider
running for governor, for example?
Yeah, for that. You know, just some people are not satisfied with the field, thought maybe John would run. He didn't. Garrett's being quiet still, and most people are interpreting that as he's probably not running. We got D.C. Mardi Gras this week, which I'm going to go up to, and plan to be meeting with, you know, Attorney General Landry and Garrett and some others, trying to figure some of this out. But there have been some people saying, look, you've got a great name recognition. Everybody knows you. You're not going to tell them who you are. You ought to consider running.
I think I know what the slogan would be.
What would it be?
Get it done.
There you go. There you go.
Get Gordon, get it done. Yeah. Well, I would think that this would be a natural. Back in the day, they used to recruit like TV anchors who became members of Congress in all parts of the country.
Right.
But you're well known, and your face is well known. And obviously your message is working enough that you're able to invest $20 million a year to get your message to the people of the great state of Louisiana. And you're only in Louisiana, right?
That's right.
You don't, like Morris Bart for a while, I don't know if he still is, he's all over the South.
Yeah, he is. He's in a couple of other states. And pre-COVID, we had plans to launch into some other states. But when that hit, that kind of sent a shock through the system. And we pulled back and haven't kind of looked into that since then.
All right. 877-217-5757 is your number. We will go to the phone lines in short order with Gordon McKernan. There are a couple lines open if you'd like to grab them. And some listeners also have sent messages to talk at talklouisiana.org. Now, Anna, this is Anna on Bluebonnet. She asks, what is your party affiliation?
Right now, I'm Republican.
You're a Republican.
Mm-hmm.
And some might be surprised by that.
Yeah.
Because lawyer advertising, now tell me if I'm wrong, I could be totally off, but the impression is that many of the people who utilize you and others are people who are not big on income. And most of those people, as we know, income is a driver. Most of the rich people are Republicans and most of the poor people are Democrats.
Right.
So you're a Republican. So, that would be interesting if you were, and you would presumably run as a Republican, right? If you got in.
Right. I don't think about running too much. I have my wife who years ago asked me not to do it, but then again, she asked me not to advertise and see how that went. But
is it true your dad asked you not to advertise?
Yeah. Well, at first, and we talked through it for a while, and he eventually saw where it was going, and he was gracious enough to let me try it. And he got to watch it in the last few years of his life, and he got to see some of the success. And I can remember sitting there talking with him, and he would say, well, tell me again how many calls you got today, and How many cases? Because, you know, back in the day with my dad, we might sign up 100 cases a year, right?
And you get that many in a week.
Oh, yeah.
Or more.
Easy.
Now,
yeah,
now,
easy, yeah.
Now
we
get 100 in a day.
Yeah,
easy.
We get
maybe 100 by 10 o'clock.
Yeah, who knows? But he was just, I'll never forget his eyes and his expression. He just couldn't fathom that would happen in a law firm, one that he had started and then I'd kind of taken over. So it's a fond memory that I have.
I'm sure he would be and probably is in another venue. Very proud of you. You have done well and have carried on the family name quite well. But he was involved in politics, not as a candidate, but he definitely was a player.
Well, yeah, one time he ran. He did run for public service commissioner against Lewis Lambert.
Did he really?
He did. And if you remember, he was not in the Edwards administration, but he was close to the governor. There was a little jockeying that occurred in there from what I understand, what he told me. And
we do have to take a short break of 90 seconds, and we will be back with Gordon McKernan. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. Gordon McKernan is with us, trial lawyer, and he is going to invest, in his estimation, $20 million or so on advertising this year, and he said he might even run for governor. You said you might. You haven't said no. So, but you said your wife doesn't want you to, and I know you rely heavily on her counsel. I'm guessing you won't. But you're going to Washington Mardi Gras. What's in Washington Mardi Gras for a trial lawyer who's not perhaps got the political bug?
Right. Well, several of my dear friends have daughters who are being presented, and I've done that before, and it's a great experience. And I'm going to support them as well as just talk to some of the people in the room, so to speak.
Another listener notes you're heavily involved with a particular high school in this community.
Yeah. I went to University Laboratory School out on the campus, went there as a first grader, graduated there, and I've always been active in that and tried to support it as best I can through the years.
And had a son who was a pretty good quarterback there.
Yeah,
won a state title, right?
Yeah, John Gordon won back-to-back state titles, and I think over his last 42 games, he was 42-0, because then he went to LSU as, you know, preferred walk-on. Played there, and so he hung it up at 42-0. That's not a bad
That's
record.
Not bad, and no. In the day, you were a pretty good athlete.
I don't know about that. I could shoot a basketball pretty good and do those things.
Yeah.
But you know, I tried my wares out there with Coach Brown for a season on the freshman team back then. And that time, they had so much talent in that 84, 85, 86 time that he kind of built a little freshman team.
Really? So you were there with John Tudor and Leonard Mitchell?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Derek Taylor.
Yeah, too much talent for me.
That's very, very good player.
Yes.
877-217-5757. Walt in St. Gabriel. Walt, you're on with Gordon McKernan.
Hi, you mentioned that Morris Bart was the second attorney to advertise. I wondered if you were familiar with the partnership of Terry Hessick and Emmett Kaur.
No, sir. Not familiar with them.
They were long reputed to be the first advertisers in this area, and they go back to about 1980.
When was it allowed?
It was Bates versus Arizona, and it was in the late 70s when it was allowed, and then from there it kind of filtered out through the years. But in talking with Morris and others kind of in my circles, maybe Morris got some of his information, but he had always claimed that he was the second advertiser in the around. So maybe this
gentleman is interesting, though, that you said you have a friendly relationship with him. You don't view him as a competitor?
Oh, yeah, I view him as a competitor.
But you still...
Yeah, it'd be like, you know, if you and I went to go play golf or tennis together, we talk all the way up until the time we cross that line, and once we get in that line, I'm trying to do everything I can to beat you.
Well, he has been around for a while. Now, Max in Mid-City asked about what kind of approval now is required for your spots. You just can't put something on
the air. No, they've tightened that up a good bit, they being the Louisiana Supreme Court and Bar Association. You have to submit your ads to a committee, and they review them. There are certain guidelines that you have to meet, and then they either approve them or disapprove them. If they disapprove them, you try to work with them to get it to where they accept it. At that point in time, then you can put it up.
Now, you're involved with many football players, including Jaden Daniels, who's coming back, and I would suspect he'll have a gangbuster senior season. You know, his junior year, if you just look at the raw numbers, right, was better than Joe Burrow's junior year.
Yes, I'm aware of that. Yeah, we talked about and looked at kind of starting to make a Heisman push for him, you know, from my standpoint, start to put some marketing out and coming out of that Alabama game. Mm-hmm. And then he just, you know, kind of didn't keep it up. His level kind of leveled out his play. And but we've already talked about this year really making a push for him if he starts to have those type of numbers again.
Well, and if they're winning.
That's right. You got to win.
And presumably they will win. How much do you coordinate, if at all, with the athletic department?
The only time I talk to the athletic department really about NIL is if we have a compliance issue. We have a question. We want to call up there and get a little mm-hmm. guidance. I have a outside attorney. You know, attorneys have attorneys. And we spend a lot of money on outside attorneys. And Bob Barton up there at Taylor Porter is my outside attorney that I bring in to make sure I'm doing everything right. Because the last thing that I want is to run afoul of compliance and get a player on the field ineligible, right? So the only time I talk with them is on compliance issues. What about this? What about that?
And you now have all these players in your stable. What was it, 15 of them? 15 last year?
Yeah, I mean, we're in multiple cities with it, multiple colleges. But the football players, I think we had 16 LSU football players last year.
And the number given for that, just for the football players, was like $1 million. Is that more?
No, it won't be more than a million. It'll be somewhere 800 to a million this whole year, including this spring semester. So, you know, Harold Perkins freshman year, right? Or Jaden Daniels senior year.
So you got Harold Perkins too.
I have Harold Perkins.
He's a stud.
He's a little different, isn't he? He just kind of moves different out on that field.
Yeah, and it certainly would be good. Now, these guys, when you come to them, what do they say? I'm in, or I want to know who you are, what you do. What's the process?
It's funny. A lot of them reach out to me. They really do.
Really?
I mean, we just get random emails and things like that describing who they are. Some will seek out if you see someone playing well or a storyline developing about that player, right? So Jaden, I didn't represent him in the beginning of the season, but watching him evolve through this season, and especially through that Alabama game, I was like, wow, what a story that is. I want to partner with that young man.
Patricia in Magnolia Woods. Patricia, you're on Talk Louisiana with Gordon McKernan. Hello, Patricia.
Hey, good morning. I was wondering, this isn't related to football players, but I was wondering if with the self-driving cars, you know, there's an accident and the person who owns it has been keeping it, you know, up to date. If there's kind of a different approach, do you have to go after the manufacturer?
Right.
Good question.
Yeah, that is a good question. I do think that area of the law is evolving, right? And we hear the stories of Tesla cars and they're having problems. So certainly if the car malfunctions, that's an area that we would look into. Oftentimes you start getting these things and they say, oh, the car didn't do this or do that. And you start looking into it and it's actually driver mm-hmm. error. But I do think you're going to see some big litigations on that in the future.
Paul in Opelousas. Thank you, Patricia. Paul, you're on with Gordon McKernan. Hi, Paul.
Good morning, Jim. Good morning, Jim. Good morning, Gordon. How you doing?
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Just a question, and I know you're specialized like a doctor. You specialize in a field. Who do you see specializing in the rest of law, such as family law? Who would be an expert of property law? That kind
right.
of stuff.
All right.
So just trying to get that question. Thank you.
So I think you have to look at it community by community, right? And in our various offices around the state, we have different lawyers that we work with routinely in those areas. So if we were in Lafayette, there's a family lawyer that we respect and would direct people to when they call us. And if you go to Lake Charles, if you want someone versed in property contractual law, there's someone they have there. So in each community, there tends to be people who are specialized in them. If you're looking for someone in Opelousas, you can certainly call my office and we'll direct you.
Jonathan in New Iberia. Hello, Jonathan. You're on.
Good morning, gentlemen. Good morning, gentlemen. How are you doing this morning?
Doing well. Thank you.
Outstanding. I'll take the answer off the air, but I'm wondering, are any of these young men getting help in some of their tax liability?
Yeah. I'm assuming in tax liability, you're meaning what type of advice they're getting. Well, when we sign them, we certainly tell them and explain to them and disclaim to them that we're not tax experts, but there will be taxes associated with this. And if they need to speak to someone, we have people that they can. Interestingly enough, a lot of these young men are hive advisors, and they have agents, and they have handlers, and all these other sorts of people that are kind of coming around, especially the more high-profile ones. So those typically have someone they're working with on those aspects.
Paul in Magnolia Woods. Hi, Paul.
Hey guys. This is also along the lines of the self-driving with Patricia asked. What do you see as far as the future of personal injury attorneys and self-driving vehicles?
All right. What is
Yeah. I do think, you know, you have to be foolish to think that 50 years from now, someone in my position would be doing it exactly the same. I do think you're going to continue to see reduced accidents mm-hmm. and reduced driver liability because the self-driving cars are going to take that away to some degree. But I still think that's probably best estimate 20 to 25 years, but you're going to slowly see the decline. And we've all experienced it, right? All of a sudden you drift over and you get a lane assist and you come back.
877-217-5757, your Talk Louisiana number. Back with Gordon after this. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. Some more time with Gordon McKernan. If you'd like to get in, 877-217-5757. Robin Dow. He is producing. Gordon, born on the 19th day of August, 1966, Bill Clinton's 20th birthday, which means he is 56 years old. What's the prime time for a lawyer?
I would think right about here in your 50s, right? You've got enough wisdom, hopefully, and learning from your past mistakes. Your name should be out there in whatever practice you are. You're still young enough that you have good energy. Probably your kids are out of the home, so you have a lot of time and attention to focus it. So I would think in this area right here where I am.
Okay. That's a good answer. Now, when you were in your early 20s, you were out on street corners hustling votes for Sean Riley, weren't you?
I did volunteer for his campaign that one summer in college.
And, 1987.
Yep. Goes back a long, long time. A good friend of mine's family introduced me to Sean, Mervin Wampole, and was friends with Sean. And he was helping mm-hmm. with campaign that and asked me and my good friend Jeff Wampole. Mm-hmm. We went door to door that summer for him.
I know Sean's wife, Jennifer, was very close to David Van Gelder, and
right.
I didn't know it until you told me, but David died last week, the owner of Dearman's,
yeah.
and a relatively, by today's standards, young man,
yeah.
but I've seen you in Dearman's a time or two.
Yeah, I love that place, iconic restaurant here in town. It's not far from my house, grew up going there, love it, very sad, got to know David through the years up there, just a loss for us.
Mm-hmm. And you're Baton Rouge through and through.
Through and through.
Never going anywhere else.
No, this will always be home. Now, do I like to vacation and be other places at certain times of the year and watch the leaves change out in Colorado or, you know, be mm-hmm. on the water during certain times of the year?
What do you view as the principal problems in this community?
The crime right now. I think that's kind of gripped our city. And, you know, you've got to have the right leadership for that. And I'm not sure we're seeing that yet. I think Mayor Broome is a well-intentioned person. A nice, faithful person, but something's not connecting, right? You cannot have what we're having right now in this city and the rampant crime, the random crime. Something has to change.
877-217-5757. Nick and Zachary. Nick, you're on with Gordon McKernan.
Hi, it's Gordon. I was wondering if I can just get your input on how you believe the correlation between your role Morris Bartz, other similar attorneys, is to the price of auto insurance in the state of Louisiana.
Right. So that's a long-running issue going back years and years and years and seems to occur every legislative session when certain lawmakers and certain mm-hmm. other office holders come forth and talk about the problems and then introduce a package of laws that's designed to do it. And we've been told that several times, and it doesn't seem to be helping. Contrarily, there are some good studies out there that go into why and how insurance companies are pricing premiums and things that we've never thought about dealing with how much money someone has, whether they're a widow, and those type things that probably need to be examined to see how they're setting these rates. Now, I'd be foolish not to think that advertising doesn't play some role, but it's not the primary driver of what's happening. You have plenty of states where advertising is not that heavy and premiums are high, right?
All right. Stuart downtown. Stuart, you're on with Gordon McKernan.
Jim, Mr. McKernan, good morning. And to the audience, Mr. McKernan, what a treat. sir, how many billboards might you have across the state of Louisiana? And without being too intrusive, what is your advertising budget? And finally, I've got a friend who has produced a phenomenal jingle for your practice. Would you be even be remotely amenable to listening to it? Seriously.
Thanks for that. The billboards range, they're kind of going up and coming down, but it can vary from, say, 800 to 1,000 at any point in time, for the state. Yeah, for the state, total billboards. It's complicated how we do it, but it can go up and down by 10 to 20%. I think we'd mentioned earlier, my advertising budget is roughly about $20 million, give or take $1 million or so. NIL last year certainly spiked my budget. That wasn't baked into the 2022 budget, and I kept getting excited about different players and stories. And then, if you want to send a jingle, you can certainly email it to our office. We get people with creative ideas trying to participate all the time.
I suspect you have a major marketing operation determining what will work and what might not work.
We do. We have a fairly robust marketing department, probably has close to 10 people in it, from our marketing director, Alex, all the way down, social media, people who work in the TV side, the billboard side. So they do a great job, and I couldn't do it without them.
All right. 877-217-5757. John Mustafa in Mid-City. Mustafa, you're on.
Yes, Gordon, I'm wondering if you could apply this retroactively. Would you consider partnering with former Little Rock basketball standout Jim Engster? And Jim, I'm wondering if, because you have this potential, is that the reason why you've gotten Gordon on the show?
Now, he's a good guest. Obviously, he's got people juiced up, and he has a story. It's all about a story, and this is one that you're on the air all the time, but you rarely tell your story.
That's right.
And you have the family story, and I mentioned your son, but you're related by marriage to Jimmy Field, right?
I am. He's my father-in-law, and Shannon, his daughter, was my high school sweetheart. We actually dated in elementary school for a year, you know, a little fifth, sixth grade romance, and then separated for a few years and fell in love in high school, and then have been with her ever since. And Jimmy's been a father to me.
He's a great man. A
wonderful man.
Really is a great man. And you're... I guess brother-in-law is Mark. If you got a shoulder problem, I mean, we're talking about anybody in the country.
Yeah,
he's the shoulder guy, isn't he?
He is. He is acclaimed of a surgeon as anybody out there, and now he's kind of the head of all LSU sports from a medical standpoint. He works with Bo Lowry out there, and they do a great job. So he's beyond talented. As I like to tell people, he's the smartest man in the room.
Elizabeth in Lafayette. Elizabeth, you're on. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi, good morning.
Yes,
good morning.
I wanted to ask Gordon, good morning.
What's your question, Elizabeth?
I'd like to know what type of community project supports Gordon has.
All right. What? We know about the bicycles, community projects. You give away a lot of bicycles.
Yeah, we do. We have a kind of a giving arm called Gordon Gives, and we work a lot through that, but we also do individually. I do individually as well as the company. But in a given year, we'll support roughly about 150 different community organizations throughout the states, from Little League baseballs to churches to festivals and, you know, cancer walks and all sorts of things. So I deeply believe and am committed to giving back to the communities that we're a part of, just from a Christian standpoint, that to whom much is given, much is expected. I don't think we should turn our back on those who need help, and we're open for business 24 hours a day for that. I welcome all the listeners out there. If they ever have something, just reach out to our office. You probably know the phone number, or just email us, but we're happy to try to partner with as many. In fact, this year here in Baton Rouge, we started Tan Cares, LaTangela, with our office. She's kind of a community based person who's trying to bring initiatives and partner us with different charities around the city that need us.
Tim in Thibodeau. Tim?
Thanks, Jim. Gordon, I'd like your reflections on the financial side of NIL. I tutored with Donald Ray Kennard's guidance at LSU, and I know the football players and others did not receive anything but $15 a month for laundry money, and they were glad to get it.
Yes, sir. I remember Mr. Kennard. I knew his daughter, Stacy, and if our memory serves me right, my brother-in-law, Mark, dated her a little bit, so I remember him fondly. Well, two things. First, these young athletes today, these men and women athletes, they do get much more of a stipend through the university, so it's not like it was back in the day. And the figure might be up to $10,000 to $12,000 a year above their scholarship money. So they do have some things there which is beneficial. On the NIL side, I was for it. I think most people were. It's just gotten out of hand. It's gotten a little crazy. I don't think that the universities and the different, you know, corporation stuff should profit off these young individuals' name, image, and likeness without some compensation. That's what they try to do. It's just gotten a little wonky.
Where do you see this going?
I do believe in talking with cohorts of mine around the Southeastern Conference, men who are deeply involved in their collectives. We kind of found each other, you know, you right. See it. They're all saying the same word, unsustainable, right? It's just not sustainable. And I think there's enough people saying that at some point Congress will take a look into the whole scheme of things. Because one thing people aren't realizing also, in certain states, there's a move afoot, depending on which state you're in, on how you classify a student athlete. Some states want to classify them as an employee of the university. Other states don't. Some states are passing very advantageous NIL rules where other states can't. So you have this disproportionate advantage and disadvantage through the states. So I think something like that begs for a congressional framework.
But will workers' comp issues?
There you go. Yeah. So if you got a progressive state like California, they want all that. They want to classify. And then all of a sudden, overtime, fair labor practices, all these other things kick in. Think about that rippling effect through college athletics. That's something the NCAA can't afford.
But players getting their just due, that's long overdue.
Long overdue.
And God bless you if you're able to do it. And I would suspect you're not doing this just for the sake of loving LSU. You're doing it because you believe it's going to work.
Yeah. I mean, I probably entered it with Kayshawn and Alexis. Alexis, which is my first one, but Kayshawn really, really jumped in the pool. That was an emotional reaction to protecting LSU, right? When you hear a rival SEC school is about to poach your best player, and you're with some men duck hunting, there's a lot of testosterone in the room. You just, maybe you don't realize what you do when you jump in the deep end.
So you're a big fan.
I'm a big fan.
Big fan. Well, we'll just spend a few more moments with Gordon McKernan, then we'll hear from author Jeff Hobbs with a compelling book about juvenile justice. We're back after this brief timeout with more Talk Louisiana. This is Jim Inkster. We're wrapping it up with Gordon McKernan, and we'll hear from Jeff Hobbs, a remarkable writer with a poignant book, Children of the State. But and a few listeners have inquired about Olivia Dunn, the LSU gymnast who has earned millions, and I'm looking at the Advocate, her valuation, $2.7 million. She's number one among all female athletes in college. I would imagine at some point your paths have crossed. What do you make of the phenomenon of Olivia Dunn?
Yeah, that's a outlier. You know, she is by far and away the number one athlete, NIL athlete, in the country. I visited with her representatives, and she's pricey, and I wish her well. I don't think it was designed to be set up like this, but this is capitalism at work, and she's taking advantage of the gifts that she has and the traits, and she's a pretty lady, and we all know that pretty ladies have been selling magazines and other things for a long time.
Well, you're a handsome guy. I'm sure that's one of the reasons why you've had success. Now, this marketing operation that you have, I'm sure as these people say, you know, get your face out there.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't do so unless you were telegenic. Obviously, it works for you. Why have you had as much or more success than some of the others who have tried to do the same thing?
We spoke about it a little bit off air. I think there's two things from my standpoint. First, I'm a nonstop type of guy. It just, it never turns off for me. My office laughs at it. It's up into the night. It's in the morning. I'm always thinking about the people, the company, the brand, all that. So I'm very competitive, very engaged in it. The second part is that we try to do the right thing by people. That's every single client. Still try to operate the business like when I was with my dad, when we had 100 cases total, right? And every single client, you're going to live out the golden rule that you find in the Bible. And when I hire people, when I talk to people, that's what I tell them. You're going to do unto others as you'd have done to yourself. I think that's a wonderful aspect. It doesn't matter if you're a vendor that walks into our building or we deal with, we're always going to try to do the right thing with people.
All right. We've got several people, and hopefully we'll have Gordon back soon. But Robin tells me to go to Mike in Waveland, Mississippi, and that we will. And Mike, you'll be our final caller for Gordon McKernan. Please be concise. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Jim and Gordon. When you said before, Gordon, that athletes were making $10,000 to $12,000 a year, was that pre-NIL or after NIL?
No, right now they have various stipends and monies that they receive through NCAA and the university. And I can get those exact figures, but in talking with my compliance attorney and through all this, they're not. It's not like the old days of 20 years ago. There are funds that they receive that we're just not aware of. But they should. I mean, they give up a lot.
Well, Gordon, thank you. Good luck and congratulations.
Thank you, Jim, for having me on. Always, God bless.
God bless you. And we're joined now in our remaining time by Jeff Hobbs. He graduated with a BA in English Language and Literature from Yale, the author of The Short and Tragic Life of Robert Peace, which won many awards. And he is back in a huge way with Children of the State, Stories of Survival and Hope in the Juvenile Justice System. And as we know, we've got major issues in Louisiana on that front. And good morning to you, Jeff.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me on.
Well, tell us how significant this problem is, not only in our state, but everywhere else.
Well, it's, I think people don't realize it's about 250,000 kids a year serve some form of incarceration, whether that's for a couple hours waiting to see a judge or months or years for more complicated situations. And but even the ones who are in for a short time, there's almost like a total erasure of school and potential. And that's kind of where I started writing the book.
I presume that these facilities are designed to help kids get on their feet and live a productive life, but based on your findings and others, but basically it's right here in all its definition and Children of the State, the result is the contrary sometimes, or many times, isn't it?
It is, but I did, this book is almost as much about adults shepherding kids as it is about the kids themselves in different spaces. I think a lot of people are actually surprised that juvenile halls are schools where kids learn math and history and English and writing. And I was surprised by even in short-staffed places where there was a lot of stress and tension, and obviously adults are underpaid for the kind of challenging work, I was surprised by just how much caring there was.
What about the culpability of adults? Are we responsible in many cases for the failure of the system?
Well, the system, I mean, I learned from for centuries, basically starting in the 1700s, the system is really designed to take troublesome kids and just get them out of the way. And that started with literally like windowless structures with just all kids' mental health and home problems and poverty. And even now where it's a lot better and it's more humane, it's still meant to be out of sight, out of mind. And the kids who end up there are the kids who don't have adult support. In that sense, yeah.
Richard Ross, who is the creator of Juvenile Injustice and author of Architecture of Authority, writes of Jeff in his book, Hobbs paints a perfect picture of a far from perfect world where children with no voice from families with no resources and communities with no power are placed in too often forgotten. In the midst of this, he shows remarkable people who care and struggle to keep these kids alive and afloat. In what should be required reading for humanity, Hobbes introduces us to a terrible reality of a children's world where survival is aspirational and thriving an impossible fantasy. Are the odds so daunting at times that it's impossible to rise above them?
I mean, the subtitle of the book is Survival and Hope in This System. So I spend time with kids who've lost people and kids who've hurt people. And I did see that the power of, whether it's a spiritual power with a pastor or just connection with a teacher or even a guard, I feel like when the caring is there and a kid sees an adult sitting across from him, looking him in the eyes and listening, there was hope, and I saw kids come a long way.
Well, this is the actual publication date. This book is out and about as of today, Children of the State, Stories of Survival and Hope in the Juvenile Justice System. What is the most common reason why these kids are put away? What generally prompts this?
Sure. There's a very small proportion that is real violence and guns. And obviously there need to be consequences for that. I'm not saying to abolish punishment. But I think most people sort of presume that kids are there for drugs, but that's not actually the case. The vast majority of kids are there for fights at school or missing appointments or missing fines. Crimes, quote unquote, that if they had some support, probably wouldn't happen at all, and certainly shouldn't land them in prison.
Well, Jeff, congratulations on an important work, Children of the State, and is noted in Louisiana, we've had a scandal of sorts a few months ago,
yeah.
The New York Times.
I followed that.
The facility in North Louisiana, based on your findings, is probably not unique. These kinds of problems are immense. It's just a matter of degree, isn't it?
These jobs are hard, and especially the adults responsible for discipline. You have kids in real trouble. No kid likes to be told what to do, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, Jeff, in his book, creates intimate portraits of teenagers as they struggle to make good decisions amid challenges of overcoming their past, and also asks, what should society do with young people who have made terrible mistakes? Jeff, it's been a pleasure. Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much for having me on. It means a lot.
We'll talk soon. And as we part company today, it is the 24th day of January, and it is the 82nd birthday of two great American singers, Neil Diamond and Aaron Neville. Neil, of course, from New York City, and Aaron from New Orleans. Back in 1966, Aaron Neville hit it big when he was 25 years old with his biggest hit of all time, November of 66. This song was named one of the top 400 songs of all time by Rolling Stone magazine.
If you want something to play with, go and find yourself a toy. Baby, my time is too expensive.
And that song hit number two on the charts. It couldn't get past I'm a Believer, which was number one for 2 months with the Monkees. That song was written by none other than Neil Diamond, born the same day as Aaron Neville. Neil Diamond wrote almost all of his hits, but here's one he did not write from Gary U.S. Bonds that Neil had a big hit with in 1968.
I said, hey, yeah, hey.